Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So what do we do? We talk about...
Do we need
about...
a deep breath?
Yeah, do you need a cleansing breath? Yeah, so what we do is exactly what we're doing right now. So I will start by saying welcome to Continuing Conversations. Thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And I'm Bishop Jen.
Welcome, Bishop Jen Nagel. How about that? Da, 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 da. I feel like there should be a little...
We haven't told her anything of what we're doing.
No.
Nothing whatsoever.
So this podcast, the origins of the podcast are we would record our sermons to put up on a podcast, and we would get done, and on a Sunday, Pastor Dana and I would sit together in either her office or my office and just talk through what happened on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And ideas we had that didn't make it into the sermon, things that were cut out of the sermon for time, or just like, oh, that nobody would have known that weird niche, you know, pop culture reference or something.
Our
millennial references. I got to gauge it back. Or we would just talk through
or
stuff.
Or things that came up during the sermon where I was
that would
work. We could have added that in there.
Yep. Yeah. Or just there's a lot of things that don't lend itself to a 10-minute sermon, and we try to keep ours to 10 minutes, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. We try to keep it around that time. That's what the people here are used to.
Sure.
Traditionally, that seems to be the time that people can actually pay attention.
Yep.
And I mean, there are a lot of seminary professors that taught preaching that would say it shouldn't even be that long. You know, it could just be get up, preach the gospel, go home, right? You know, that's what it's all about. So we thought, wouldn't it be nice to have something that was more of a dialogue rather than a monologue where we could share those things?
Cool.
Yeah. And continue the conversation.
And continue the conversation.
The conversation.
And
yep.
Thus, here we are, continuing the conversation.
We started out just the two of us, and then once in a while, we've brought in a couple guests now to talk about their thoughts and stuff. So
yeah. We're doing these midweek services on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And we're having people from the congregation write things and deliver them, which is really great. So this past Wednesday, we had Ron Balls came and join us because he wrote a reflection a couple weeks prior. We had our
Blessed are the merciful.
They
will receive mercy.
That was very cool to get him a part of the conversation. And he had some really interesting things to say as well. We had Shelly Jago, who's our congregational president. So we just thought, you know, this is meant to be a continued conversation, as the name would suggest. So we thought it shouldn't just be us two sitting here, because the people get to hear us ramble all the time from the pulpit. So we thought we should invite some other people in. So extended the invitation to you, Bishop, and see if you'd want to stick around after worship. And I'm glad you accepted.
I'm glad.
I thought this
fun.
Would be fun.
Yay.
So real quick. You're the bishop of 137 congregations you shared with us in worship.
137 worshiping communities, because some of them are not yet congregations.
Oh,
which is why
right.
I'm technical about worshiping communities.
Worshiping
some of them are
communities.
New starts, and they are not yet congregations.
So
three
they're meeting in community spaces, or they're just a few
in
people.
In other churches, or whatever. Some of them
takes
years to become a congregation.
Oh, yeah.
So
this church, All Saints, has its origins in... we worshiped at the school for a little bit. You know, they had offices in town at like an auto body shop, I think, for a while. They like rented out auto space or office space from them. So a lot of church, that's where churches get their start a lot of times. And some, I think, intentionally stay sort of loosey-goosey, no building. And that's an intentional thing that helps them to.
And part of it has to do with, I mean, constitutions and like the structural organization. But you can be a church in any different way you want to be a church.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily define if you're a church. It's more the organizational structure.
It's not a building. Yeah. Doesn't
it's not
make
a, building,
a church.
Right. We all have some good songs about that. It's not
very true.
Yep.
My first question is, how did you get to become our bishop? You're about 6 months into this gig.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself here?
How did I find myself here? Well, I was serving a congregation near the University of Minnesota, near the U of M campus on the Dinkytown side, and very happily serving that congregation. And I was beginning to hear people say, would you be willing to let your name go forward to be our next bishop? And that happens to lots of people. So lots of names get bubbled up.
Right.
And my name, I said, after a while, I said, let's just see where this goes. And then I let it continue. So there was a conversation, there were forms, then there was an election last May, and I was elected bishop in that May election.
Yeah, a lot of conversation, a lot of open forum and
forums and questions. And I also have been around the Synod for a long time, since about 2000, 2001. And so I've known different people, and I've kind of seen different pieces of the Synod. I don't know this edge of the Synod nearly as well, which makes it really special to be able to come out here.
Yeah, makes sense. If that was your, you know, we have within the Synod, we also have these conferences. So we're the Southwest Conference. So, you know, I've gotten to know our colleagues in the Southwest Conference because we meet more often than we meet as a whole synod. So that makes sense that where you were previously located. I love Dinkytown. I went to the University of Minnesota.
Are you from Minnesota?
Dinkytown, let's go.
I grew up in New Ulm, so just a little bit south of you guys. Yeah.
Herman the German.
Herman the German.
The very one.
My parents live in Mankato now.
Any favorite restaurants in Dinkytown?
In Dinkytown? Oh, jeepers. Wally's, which is a great Middle Eastern food. I really like
Wally's. I don't think I ever went to Wally's. Did you ever go to Pagoda?
It sounds like a field trip.
I did.
I loved Pagoda. Yes. They had like a $5 lunch deal there. So I lived in Sydney Hall in college. That was my sophomore year was Sydney Hall, which is a stone's throw away from Pagoda.
Yeah.
And their $5 lunch special was a problem.
Nice.
$5.
$5. Oh, and it was.
What is it with inflation?
It was, I don't know. It was like a big styrofoam container, and it was like loaded to the gills with rice and meat and whatever you ordered. And it was amazing. Came with an egg roll.
Unbelievable. Al's would be another one. It's the diner.
Oh, yeah. Al's is great. Yeah. Best breakfast.
I think I've been there.
Al's is pretty famous.
It's kind of a mainstay.
It's a mainstay.
Not a U of M girl.
No.
I couldn't get myself around there. I
wasn't either until I became one of the pastors.
Yeah, now you did.
This is good. It was kind of neat.
Where did you go to college?
Concordia College in Moorhead.
Concordia. All right. Yep. Yeah. Great. Very cool. What does a bishop do?
What does a bishop do? Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, what I was talking with the congregation this morning, the office, think about candidacy, and we think about call process and conflict and connecting and all that. I think in my particular role, I mean, the things that I do that other people don't do, I ordain people. Like I ordain Pastor Dana. And
kind of.
You're first.
Kind of, it was a little bit of a combination between me and Bishop Lull because I wasn't quite yet able to do it. But we were working together.
No,
In tandem.
I'm claiming it, honey. As you should.
Just you did the most of the work. You said most of the words.
Right.
Didn't have the magic hands on my head.
Whatever. But I mean, the truth is we don't get to ordain people every day.
Right. No, it's a special thing.
But I'd end up spending a lot of time with congregations thinking about the call process and helping the assistants to the bishop do that kind of work. I also do a lot with conflict and a lot with kind of the struggles that come with congregations trying to sort things
out. That's a big part of
a
bishop's job, right?
It is, and it's kind of the quiet part. Honestly, it's some of the stuff that I didn't know. I mean, I knew it happened, but I didn't understand what happened or didn't know.
You kind of come in blind a lot of times, I imagine. That's
you
a hard thing to walk into.
Yeah.
Well, when we told people that we had the bishop coming, it was like, ooh, bishop's coming. And I'm like, we're fine. Totally fine. We're not in trouble. I know sometimes that's why the bishop visits. This is a happy visit. Yeah.
Well, the teachers are like, it's like when the principal comes to,
I don't like that
observe
feeling.
Your classroom. Yeah.
I want to be more, I mean, I just, I think about the church. For the most part, most of the time, every congregation is a little bit different, and you just want to support the good things that are going on in the congregation.
Absolutely.
And that's how I feel about All Saints as well.
Oh, that's great. And I'm glad. That's you know, brings home why it's important to have Sundays like this, where you're just coming to bring a word of welcome and a hello, and people get to see you and put a name to the face.
And I get to see you all and put names to
the faces. Which is great.
Which is really important. And to be in your own context.
Well, or we were just talking about like me starting out here for this first 6 months, and I'm assuming, you know, sometimes you ordain people or whatever, and then you're like, okay, see ya, never, like, good luck. So it's nice to have you come and see that, like, okay, I'm here now.
You're doing good ministry. Yeah. You're doing it. Yeah. Which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I feel right at home. My first call at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fort Worth, Texas, shout out, my bishop, Eric Gromberg, shout out Bishop Eric.
Yes,
He was the husband of my senior pastor.
Oh, interesting.
Kendra Moan.
Yes.
So he was always hanging around because, you know, Kendra's working on a Sunday.
Right.
Who's going to take care of the kids? So, you know, Bishop's running around chasing after kids. So me and the bishop at my first call were like, what's up? I did not feel the principal coming to observe. We were very much, he was always just hanging around, which I loved.
Which
so
that's how I really want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great, right? It's like, we shouldn't have that, but that's why it's important.
Yep.
You mentioned in your welcome, the wider church. You spelled it W-Y-D-E-R?
W-I-D-E-R.
Regular Y.
Wider church. I thought you said W-Y, and I was
no,
like,
W-I.
I wonder what that
I just think
is.
It's a hard word to
it
hear.
It is, because W-I, yeah.
Is it whiter? No, it's wider. It's wider. It's yeah. expansive.
Because
well,
we,
the spelling
I mean,
didn't work on you.
No, apparently not. You know,
I just made it more confused.
Spelling,
W-I-D-E-R.
Spelling has never been my strong suit.
Or
I,
math.
Thank God, or math. Yeah, what is my strong suit? I'm still trying to find it. Maybe
audio
podcasting.
Production.
Yeah, audio production. Yes, yes. There's no buzz, hopefully, this time. Last time we did this podcast, I apologized because I uploaded it in stereo.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize is I had one of the microphones, just one, plugged into the left side. So when I uploaded it in stereo, it was just coming through the left channel. So when I listened to it on my way home, and I was... It was only from the left side of my car speakers, and I put it in my earbuds, and it was only the left ear, and I'm like, what? Oh, no, I did it in stereo.
Like, am I having a stroke?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, something's happening. I was like, my car's broken. No, my AirPods broken. Maybe. And it wasn't until I did physical headphones that I'm like, no, I need to upload it in mono, and I learned what that was.
And now we all know, too.
Now we all know. So I apologized for the mono, and now I apologize for the buzzing, but hopefully... There's no background buzz this time.
Yep.
It's getting better every week. That's all we want. We just want a little bit of progress every week. Isn't that right?
Okay, let's get back to the what?
Yeah, see, it's hard to say.
Wider church. Well, now you got me questioning it.
Yeah.
Wider church. What was your question about that?
My question was just, you know, it is a wide church, far and wide. And this isn't, of all the synods, I don't know if everybody listening at home probably doesn't because it's kind of inside baseball stuff, but... The ELCA, they break up synods based on how many congregations, right? It's not always a perfect distribution.
It's not perfect at all. And I'm not exactly sure even how the numbers are.
I don't
are,
know how they do
so
it.
It's so imperfect.
Yeah.
So Minneapolis Area Synod, you know, I was saying in worship today that we go up to Bram and Isanti and down to Belle Plaine and Henderson. Minneapolis is the eastern side. And then you guys are really on that western side. We are, by numbers of people, we're the largest synod of the ELCA.
We have the most congregations.
Really?
No, we have the most people.
Most people.
Or, sorry, people.
There are synods that have more congregations.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting,
cool.
Okay.
And I think that would be, many of them probably would be smaller. We get, our numbers get boosted because of some of the bigger suburban churches that end up being, you know, many thousand people in what's single congregation. So, but we also are a small geography, which is interesting. So I can drive across the Senate in an hour and something.
Well, and that's what I was going to bring up as well is Bishop Eric from North Texas, Northern Louisiana Synod.
Oh, wow.
His little hashtag that he puts all in his posts are miles and miles because, I mean, it went as far east as Shreveport, Louisiana, and then it went up the panhandle, and it's like... That's a large geographical location.
What is that, hours of a drive?
Oh, my God. Like, oh, yeah. You can drive for like 8 hours and still be in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Now, there's also the Gulf Synod and, you know, the hot, I don't really know how it works. But it's funny because, you know, we have, like you said, the most people, but also kind of the smallest geographical area compared to other parts of our wider church.
So one of my colleagues, my other new bishop colleagues, Bishop Megan in the Grand Canyon, not Grand Canyon, Rocky Mountain Synod, parts of 5 states.
Yeah,
it's
see,
huge.
There
she
you
flies
go.
To her congregation.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
It's
and
weird.
That's
California, the Pacifica Synod has Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess Hawaii's got to be in the mix somewhere. They're not going to be their own synod.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I was down in Texas, it was, you know, that's Baptist country. The people there didn't know this many Lutherans existed.
Right.
But when you look at the map, it's so funny how some are so spaced out and some are smaller, but that doesn't mean the scope of the call of the bishop is less. It might even be more in some cases, but it's just based on how densely populated it is. But
it is interesting. And amongst the other bishops, I think there's kind of that, Minneapolis area. I mean, Minneapolis area synod is, it has a little bit of its own feel to it. It doesn't have some of the dynamics that some synods do. It's got its own dynamics.
Of course, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for joining us
I'm glad to be with you this
afternoon. Yeah, and should we get into Smelly Church?
Smelly Church. Is
Smelly
that
Church.
The title of your sermon?
I don't know what I want to call it. I titled it when I saved it to my computer because it needed a name when I
Smelly
saved
Church.
It. I think it was something like Smelly Worship or something like that.
Yeah. This is, now that we record sermons, we have to come up with
the title. We have to come up with the title
for them. And that is
that's very hard.
I often wouldn't do it until the very, very end. Yep. Yes.
And even now, I don't want to do it. But
in California, we put titles in the bulletin. So yeah, I had to have it like that week ready to go.
You had to have it like a week ahead of time almost.
There's a benefit to that, in fact.
Well, I was telling
you. Kind of.
You could talk to Darcy about that.
Yeah, that's true. Because then it kind of forces you to be done ahead of time. Well, we were talking between services.
Well, or at least have a concept.
That's true. Have some sort of outline.
Come on.
The men's breakfast was this week. We met on Thursday.
Yep.
And I brought to them the text for this Sunday because I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. So maybe they can give me something. And that's when I write my sermons. Usually I wait till Thursday. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, you read the news and then you're like, I got to rewrite the sermon again.
Right. Yeah.
So I try not to put it off too long. But at the same time, it's nice to begin your week. At least this is how I do it. Begin my week. I read through the text, sort of read through it a couple of times, sort of like Lectio Divina style. Just read it through, chew over it. What's sticking out to you? What questions do you have? So read some other translations. And then I just sort of sit on it, let it just hang out in the back of my mind for a while. And then I read other theologians and what they've read, other pastors, you know, if anybody has any reflections on it. And then I can get some other ideas and then piece it together as the week goes on. And so I don't know.
What I appreciated about your take on this particular passage was the way I felt like it was really helpful to sort of ground us as we're getting closer to Palm Sunday and then moving into Holy Week and Easter. The grounding, because I feel most grounded with my senses, right? People who like talk to a therapist about anxiety, they're always like, okay, pick three things that you can see. And I mean, there's like the whole list of, and they really, it's all about the senses. And so you focused on smells, but you talked about other senses also.
Yeah.
And I found that to be helpful, kind of embodied grounding at a time when in our nation, in our world, in our church, we can just be kind of like all over the place.
Oh, for sure.
But no, we're moving into Holy Week, and it's so important. Mm-hmm. Or next week, we'll be moving into Holy Week.
Yeah.
But
this time
grounded.
Of the church calendar. Yeah it is. Yeah. And I mean, you're right. We're moving into Holy Week. I mean, us as pastors, we're weeks ahead, you know, and this is kind of the nature of the job. You have to always be thinking ahead.
Holy Week is kind of our Super Bowl, so like, of course we're weeks ahead.
Right. You kind of have to be.
I
so
hope you're weeks ahead, and at the same time, you got to be living it. I mean,
you
got
to
be
right. Try to ground yourself. So you're right. That was kind of it came to me naturally because that's what I'm trying to do right now is like be where my feet are because there's so many little pieces to put together to get to us to the empty tomb. You know, there's a lot to get through. And this is your first go around of our calendar, Pastor Dana. So you're figuring out what these things mean for us. And we use a lot of inside language, me and Darcy, when we're putting this stuff together. And that's been helpful for me this year to get to you, to have you sort of express out loud, like, whoa, stop, pause. Let's take a step back and let's explain what this is. Because to us, it's like, it's just what we always do.
You guys are like, we just do it.
We just do it. Don't you know?
Just and do it are not, that's not happening in my brain.
You're learning all this stuff as you go. Yeah. You've had experiences doing Holy Week, but that was in a different context. They do things differently. This year's peculiar, the way the calendar's laid out, you know, so...
I think it's a gift to the congregation, though, Pastor Dana, when you ask those questions. And I hope even after you've been here for many years that you still ask those questions because somebody else is walking in. I mean, not as staff, not as a pastor, but somebody's walking into this church any given Sunday. Yep. And like they need to be able to grab hold of something that makes sense to them.
Right.
Right.
And if we're doing
just
the same things we always do, what benefit is that?
And that's kind of classic. Yep. And
of course, all churches.
That's not the best church.
No.
That's not the best of us.
To say this is the way we always do things. Yeah. You get stagnant that way. Mm-hmm. So, so this having this text that is so focused, at least when I read through it, so focused on the scent in the, you know.
Right.
That's what really reached out and grabbed me this week is this, what would that room have smelled like with that spikenard? Sadly, I couldn't get my hands on a spikenard. A little expensive spikenard.
Really
Yeah, 600 some
like
bucks.
Money.
20% discount.
20% discount. Yeah, it was typically like $800 or something wild, but I'm like, yay, that's still too much.
Does spikenards smell more like money than manure?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That is funny.
A couple weeks ago, said.
Yeah, I brought that into...
Manure smells like money.
Because here in a more rural part of Minnesota...
Rich soil.
To a farmer, manure smells like money. And We're getting almost
to which
that.
The farmers said,
no, I don't. Yeah. And they're right. But we're almost to that point of year where, you know, your walk from the office out to your car will be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Farmer Brown is at it again.
It's not the corn sweats of the summer.
Yeah, that's right. That was another
experience. I remember learning about that. That was a new experience.
It just gets so hot and humid in the summer. Corn sweat.
Yeah.
It's a thing. These are rural things.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's what really grounded me this week as I was prepping my sermon. And it all kind of came together when I was thinking about my grandma, whose birthday is today, which is a weird
birthday,
coincidence.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday, Grandma Phyllis. Grandma. Yeah, she would have been 97.
Do you have that recipe?
Yeah, we
got
it.
You're going to make cookies today?
Yeah, well.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. To kind of bring it full circle. Well, that's a good. I didn't think about that, but yeah, we
tomorrow
should.
Morning, right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a nice sort of grounding thing and brought it home for me as I was thinking about her too.
What was the Rhodes said that his favorite smell was marshmallows. Mm-hmm. Is there a memory connected to marshmallows? Does he
like s'mores? How could there not be a memory connected to marshmallows?
Like,
I mean, come on.
The kid loves a marshmallow. When we go up north, we always make sure we roast a marshmallow or two.
Yes.
And those are great because they're so sticky and they get everywhere. Yep. And so I guess so. But the thing that I didn't question him because I was trying to, you know, get things moving a little bit. But I'm like, just marshmallows don't really even have a smell.
No, that's
I don't know
I
what a
like,
marshmallow
I
smells
like.
I think they do.
Do they?
I think they do.
I'm trying to come to picture what a marshmallow smells like.
Why don't you go home and test that out?
I know we have some from Hot Cocos. I'll stick my nose.
Well,
in
especially when they're warm and gooey. And
yeah, that's true.
He's associating marshmallows with the smell of hot cocoa.
Maybe,
or like
campfire.
Something else. Yeah. Yep.
We didn't get a lot of it this year.
That's what marshmallow smells like. Yeah.
We didn't get a lot of it this year.
Cute.
But yeah, it's usually when it snows a lot outside, especially if it's enough to cancel his school, then it's like, we're going to go play outside all day. And when you come inside,
have hot
there's
cocoa.
Hot cocoa and plenty of marshmallows. So yeah, you're probably right. That was maybe his memory with it.
Can I mention one other thing that I noticed in the sermon? So often we talk about Mary and Martha. Are you a Mary? Are you a Martha?
Uh-huh. Yep. Did you write that down?
I wrote down Martha served, and you didn't say anything about that.
No,
that
because that's
served.
A different text and a different sort of.
But we don't talk about Mary and Judas.
Yeah. No, that's not often.
And today you were like, I'm more like Judas than Mary. And I thought that was so interesting.
Because I have preached the Mary and Martha story of, are you the one running around?
Yeah.
Helping get the meal ready, or are you the one just like sitting at Jesus's feet and listening? I thought it was funny that we have another story in our gospel that's also lifts Mary up. And once again, she is being reminded that she's doing the right thing, but it's also it's all about her presence in the moment. She's not worried about, you know, is the roast out of the oven or, you know, whatever. She's not running around doing anything. She's just here in the moment. Both of these pericopes that center around Mary are both rooted in she's focused on what's right before her, and there's something to that that Jesus wants us to pay attention to.
Yeah,
but it made me giggle a little bit that Martha still served. Like, she didn't learn anything from.
Yeah,
that
she's
first
still
car.
In, and it says that right. Doesn't
like,
it say?
Yeah.
Doesn't it say
it
in the reading
Martha
that Martha's serving? Yeah. So it's still it's funny.
Martha
she's still connecting
and Lazarus
to.
Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. That's it.
Martha's still sadly running around making. I mean, somebody's got to get the dinner on the table. If she doesn't do it, no one will. So
I have a different take of Mary and Martha than
I know.
Sadly.
Yeah, I mean that's.
I think somewhere in this the writers forgot to thank her for that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
she was
who's putting dinner together.
Their presence there too. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that Judas, in his own way, I mean, not to lift him up too high, but like I think there's some benefit. I mean, he is realistic to our pragmatic side of things, or thrifty side of things, or whatever.
Right.
There's something that I have to see myself in that, and I appreciated that you lifted that up because I hadn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. I think I don't want to compare myself to Jesus.
I don't. Yeah, I didn't want to either.
Right,
it was uncomfortable writing it, but I'm like, I do feel like Judas.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are we doing with this oil? We could sell it 3 years' wages.
3 years' wages.
I mean,
a lot of money
right now. Spikenard. Right. The price of Spikenard is $600. Whatever. That's not 3 years' wages.
No.
Hopefully, that would be not enough for anybody. But. 3 years' wages, that's a lot. So, I think I would also be like Judas sitting there going, shouldn't we be doing something more appropriate with this? It seems kind of reckless to just break it open, but there she goes. The image in my head was, here, a 90s millennial reference.
Great.
Rafiki in yes. Lion King, when he takes that like coconut that's yeah. filled with that weird red stuff yep. and he breaks it open and it just sort of spills all over and he takes it and he anoints.
Yeah.
That's what was in my head. I'm like, because in doing some of my research for this, one theologian was talking about the alabaster sort of container that it's in. Mm-hmm. It's in a sealed container and you would have to, there was a thin sort of neck when they make this alabaster. I imagine it looks like a teardrop shape, maybe. I don't really know, but they mentioned that it has a very thin neck so you can snap the top off and then you can pour from it, but it's in a sealed. So she had to literally break it open.
Yeah.
And when you do so, I imagine it creates some cracks and it spills out. And
how do they ever make those, I wonder, though?
I don't know. How do you get it in the container and then seal it up? I don't know. It must be in some way you can sort of have it malleable and then you pinch it off some way. I don't really know. But one of those things we lose to time because we don't hold things in containers like that. But yeah, so she really had to break it open and let it just sort of spill out everywhere, which is also a great example of how abundant it was, of just like, it all fell on the floor. It probably fell on her dress. It was in her hair. Like, it's just everywhere. And it's this is expensive stuff.
And it's oil.
And purposeful.
It's oil, yeah.
And to your point, like, purposeful that it wasn't just like, oh, let's see what I have in the cupboard here. For this situation. It was like this, had to be.
Yeah. It's akin to when people, like, you know, if you see somebody win, like I feel like a race car driver is the image I have. They take the big giant bottle of champagne, you know, Dom Perignon or whatever, which is very expensive.
Yeah, really expensive.
And what do they do with it? They shake it up, they blow the top off it, and they just spray it on everybody.
Yeah, so she didn't just say, okay, let's just use a dab on your forehead.
Right. It all went everywhere, you know.
All of it. Because every bit of it.
You would think so Judas would have said, well, we can, you know, I don't know. It makes no mention of, like, let's sell the rest of it. It sounds like it's all gone. Yeah. So, it's like, it seems very extravagant, but we still, to this day, celebrate and honor people with extravagant things like that.
But then what did you made that transition to the persecuted, tying in your Beatitudes theme. And you talked about how we sometimes we talk about risk and we try to calculate and all the calculation we do.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that? That was really interesting to me.
Yeah. So this, this kind of gets back to how we started this podcast, talking about the origins of what Continuing Conversations is only so much can go in a sermon, you know, but there was part of me that was like, should I spend time talking about how we treat the persecuted in our culture. It's in the news cycle a lot these days, with people being rounded up and deported to who knows where. And it's all done under this pretense of, well, there's some dangerous people. So one bad apple, we got to get all the apples out. And in our haste to try to, I don't know, measure the risks, the costs of whatever, we're rounding up innocent people in a lot of ways and sending them off to who knows where. So it's like, do I get into that in my sermon? I don't know if I want to open up that can of worms. I don't want to crack open that alabaster jar, but that's been on my mind. And not only that came to mind first, just because it's always in our news these days as we talk about that. But also the way we give to the poor, and the way that we serve marginalized communities as well. There are a lot of people that, I don't know if we want to give to this person, that person, because, you know, they're just going to use that on drugs or, you know, people always say that when you see somebody on the street with a sign, don't give them money. They're going to spend it on whatever, you know, whoa, your money could be used in a better way. Instead, give that money to an organization that does. And in a lot of ways, as I mentioned in the sermon, it's not like the Judases are wrong. It's just that's not what we're called to do. We're called to meet the need of whoever's right in front of us.
I think part of what you were kind of getting at, which maybe I just interpreted in myself, was that Judas wasn't going to do that he wasn't going to have the pure intentions with the money anyway.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So so it was this like, you called it moral grandstanding of like, you're wrong. Here's the right thing. And Jesus is like, you're not going to do that anyway. Like, leave her alone.
I know,
like,
how you're going to act.
Well, because how many people in our world today do that too?
Well, so this like, oh, I'm not going to give, to your example, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give directly to people who need the money. I'm going to give to an organization. Like, and the, like, do you really, you and, know, are mm-hmm. you really going to give yeah. to the organization?
Some organizations, or like, very little yeah. actually gets to people yeah. in need. Mm-hmm. Some people, like a Judas, just yeah. say, like, you know, you shouldn't be given to those people. You should instead give it. And it's like, you're not doing that either.
Right.
You're just trying right. to right. make an excuse, some way to assuage your own guilt of not meeting the need of that person right in front of you,
right.
mm-hmm. which is, I think, the point of this gospel is, you know, the kingdom of God is happening right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, so whatever is right there and serve who you see mm-hmm. right there.
And serve with extravagance.
And serve with extravagance. If that means you got to crack open right. the good stuff, you got to do it, you yeah. know, and that's kind of the point of it, mm-hmm. I suppose. So yeah, that's, yeah. that was one of those, do I want to explore that avenue, and I just ran out of time.
Mm-hmm. you know? Yep.
So, yeah, good question.
It was a tough one.
It
that
is, yeah.
That was mm-hmm. a tough, mm-hmm. like, and tough to associate this kind of extravagance with blessed are the persecuted.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. We all want to put ourselves in the persecuted's place.
For
right?
sure.
Like, mm-hmm. And that's just not who we're talking about here. And,
no.
And we're not the Marys, we're the Judases. And like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. so there's a tough place you could go with both of those to say,
yeah,
oof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's been the cool thing about this sort of exercise we're doing yeah. through Lent is mm-hmm. we're preaching on the Beatitudes. So on Wednesday, the Beatitudes are the text.
Mm.
But on Sundays, the gospel is the text. But we're trying to tie it back in with our Beatitudes series as mm-hmm. we make our way towards the cross. Mm-hmm. So some Sundays are harder than others to make fit. How does this work?
Yep.
And the part about the persecuted connected to how we actually serve the people right in our midst. That mm-hmm. was my entry point. Right.
It worked.
Some weeks work better than others. That one.
Beatitudes are tricky to begin with.
I mean, they are tricky.
People often really say, tough. Oh, I love them. I want to preach on that at my funeral. I'm like, I'll try, but it's not easy to preach them.
No,
I don't
know. Because it's something we can aspire to be.
Right.
Is it something we ever actually do in practice?
It's tricky.
It's a tricky one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, I had something come mm-hmm. up while you were preaching.
Yeah.
I think you laid out this, like, the kingdom of God is right here, right in front of us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it put a different spin on Jesus for me of, mm-hmm. like, someone who needed care in the moment and mm-hmm. was worth caring for.
Yeah.
For Mary.
Hmm.
That's a good thought, and maybe Jesus sometimes feels like, he's God. Like, we don't need to, he's fine. He's good. Right. Like,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to sit right next to him and mm-hmm. anoint him with oil, or, you know, he gets anointed with some holy oil from God, not mm-hmm. from me.
Yeah.
And there was just this, like, Jesus being like, you're caring for me. And this is like, I'm mm-hmm. going to walk into my brutal death mm-hmm. next week. And like, this is special that we get to do this right now, and I don't know, just put a little more human
mm-hmm.
spin on Jesus for me, I think, sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point.
That's good.
Yeah, because that is the hard thing about this text a lot of times, is the way Jesus responds to Judas, being like, you always the poor with you, what about me? And it's mm-hmm. like, it's weird to hear Jesus act in that way of like, don't I deserve a little something? And it's like, I don't know what to do with that. Because in a lot of ways, I think we think of Jesus as this all-giving, because Jesus does mm-hmm. give mm-hmm. all the time, it seems. But to remember here as we make our way to Holy Week that Jesus was 100% human.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was all God, all human at the same time. I don't know how to hold these intentions, mm-hmm. but, well, you know, Jesus weeps. Jesus bleeds. You know, Jesus gets hungry. Jesus wants some care. He needed a moment of care with the people that loved him the most.
Well, and, mm-hmm. and purposeful to give care to then also. Like,
right,
for, so this was also for Mary. I don't know. Maybe sometimes we think we're giving care to all to people and they just don't want it or need it or are receiving it. But we're so great. Look at me caring mm-hmm. for these people. And mm-hmm. but how much more intimate is it that Jesus is like, no, I need care too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is... this is a reciprocal moment at this point.
Right.
And not lost on him that mm-hmm. Mary is, I don't know.
Yeah. Anointing him for death, you know.
Yeah.
It's tender and vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very, very vulnerable.
So mm-hmm. just, it was sweet.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a nice little moment. And as we talked about earlier, it is nice to have this moment before we get to Palm Sunday, because mm-hmm. it seems like you hit Palm Sunday and it's like pedal to the metal, right. you know, yeah. quick, get to yeah. the cross, you know, mm-hmm. and then get to Easter.
So it's nice to have this moment. To hold on to this moment, like when we get to Palm mm-hmm. Sunday, when we get to Monday, Thursday, like how will that smell be bringing them back?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. be grounded in that thing yep. that happened that was just mm-hmm. so holy and so sacred.
Yeah, be grounded yeah. in this space, because yeah. it's hard, and it's hard to hang out in that weird mm-hmm. liminal space. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know people use that all the time, but it's good.
It is hard.
Because this is a limit. You know, we're getting to that point where it's like we just want to get to the empty tomb, because that's the fun part.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it's like we intentionally stop at the cross and just sort of hang out
yeah.
there.
Yep.
And our service on Good Friday is, you know, the seven last words, Tenebrae, you know, and it's just really slow.
Mm-hmm.
You read, you stop, you sing, you read, you stop. It's just a very slow, plodding service, and it's designed to help keep us right yeah. here, because we need to pause, or else mm-hmm. or else the tomb will be cheapened. Mm-hmm. You know, the tomb doesn't mean anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. right.
Which is why a lot of churches do the Palm Passion thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that this year, because it does feel like we're cheapening the rest of Holy Week if we take away what Palm Sunday is supposed to be in service of. Well, some folks won't get to church on Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. so let's make a space for them on Palm Sunday. It's, I don't know.
Get to church.
Get to church, people.
Come to church.
Yeah, exactly.
Please come to church. Exactly. It's worth it.
It's worth it, I promise.
It makes Easter even better.
So yeah. much better. If we can pause... be yeah. there, and that's what Mary's doing, and that's what I think Jesus is lifting up. It's not about, you know, oh, the poor, don't worry about them, they'll no, always be right, hanging around right. you could serve them some other day, you know, focus on me. It's not that. It's more, that's at least the interpretation I took, is Jesus is just saying, hey, be where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right now Mary's anointing me for death,
yeah,
because that's coming very shortly, so
yeah.
Focus on where you are. Stop calculating the costs and weighing the risks and the benefits and who's, you know, because we do that all over the place mm-hmm. with how we give to the poor and the needy and the mm-hmm. persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the people just need us. They don't need our algorithms to how can we make every dollar go as far as possible. Like, that's all well and good. You know, mm-hmm. that's a good use of time, of course. But if we're doing that to an extent that we're ignoring the cries of the persecuted, well, then we've lost it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I circled leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Jesus saying,
yeah.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
And Jesus recognizing that Judas like is just focused on what someone else is doing
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
focused on other people. Like, and when we are focused on the persecuted and the needy and the poor and that, like, we're not getting that response from Jesus mm-hmm. to leave them alone.
Right.
We're getting a call to step into those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when we're focused on how everyone else is, you know, doing something different than we are, or what,
yep.
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When we're trying to be critical of something, Jesus mm-hmm. is like, leave it alone.
Just leave mm-hmm. it alone. Yeah.
No, like, go back.
Let
go to
them
your
serve in the way yeah. that they're being called to serve mm-hmm. In this time,
yeah.
in this place. Yeah, leave them alone. And poor Mary is always getting told,
yeah.
you know, Jesus, you know, she's always mm-hmm. getting tattled on.
Yep.
Go tell her to do. It's like, yep. leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. We always tell our kids, watch your own bobber.
Mm.
That's what we tell them.
Because mm-hmm. the, mm-hmm.
we're yep. now in the yep. age where they're, you know, in that tattling stage.
Mm-hmm.
He yep. did this, she did the, you know, it's like. Watch
your own
bobber. Yep. It's one thing if yep. like somebody's yep. in danger, like, please tell yeah, me so right, we can right. stop that. But if it's just like, you know, she said yep. this, it's like, I can't, you yeah. guys handle it yourself. Watch your yeah. own bobber. Leave her alone. Well, thank you, Jesus.
That'd be a good sermon title for another year.
But yeah.
Watch your own bobber.
Watch your own bobber.
No, leave her alone.
yeah, yeah. yeah, very true. Very true.
Oh, well,
watch
too.
Your own bobber yeah. could be something
be a different
else.
Sermon, mm-hmm. different
yeah,
text.
Definitely. Very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have any other thoughts, Dana, or
I don't.
Bishop?
I don't know. Probably. Wait, I wrote down stuff.
You did. I was like, you had a whole sheet of stuff.
You went over this quickly. Where mm-hmm. at first Jesus is kind of cold about this response.
Yeah, feels that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where Judas is. Let's imagine that Judas, with the purest of intentions,
yeah.
is like.
Mm-hmm.
is like, oh, Mary.
Yeah. We could have done something better.
We could do something better.
What are you doing?
And Jesus is coming at him a little bit brash and cold, like, and ready to go. And, but it also made me think of Matthew 25, of, you know, for the least of these, for I was hungry and you... And you didn't feed me, for I was home.
Yeah.
When did I see you?
When did I see you?
Yeah.
Yep. And people being like, where were you in that, Jesus? Those were just other people. And probably giving cold responses to the actual people there. I don't know. I saw that connection.
That went through my mind as well.
Okay.
It's a great connection.
Yep.
Yeah. Because that's what it's all about, right? Is if you are doing what Mary does, which is meeting the needs of whoever's right before you, then you will see those people, you know, who are right there in our midst. You know, when did I see you? You walk past me every single day. And if you're just walking past all those people because you're like Judas going, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could. Is that the best use of money? Maybe I should instead give into that. It's like you're walking right past them. You're going to miss it. Yeah. And that's how this text grounds us, I think, in something else. But yeah, it's it can feel brash, but I think that is what he's getting back to, which is why, you know, when there are a lot of faith communities that are very much focused on end times, and if that is the focus of your community and if all you're spending your energy on
week two of the pure in heart and get right with God.
Right. Yeah. Because the end is, it's like, if you're just focused on all of that, you're missing what's happening right before you. Because it's like.
To which I said, I want to experience God now.
Right. Like, yeah. The second.
I don't want to wait until the end.
And that was kind of the focus of that, that text was, I don't want to wait for this someday moment when Christ comes again. Christ has told us in the scriptures, I'm here now. Right. You're missing me now. You know? So. Don't hold yourself up in your own little faith communities going, we'll be ready when that time. It's like, it's unfolding as we speak. So if you're not out there helping, meeting the needs of the people, you're missing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Can you just finish for me? Blessed are the persecuted, for they, what's the end of that?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Sorry. I thought maybe you'd know it.
It's persecuted for the sake of righteousness.
Okay.
And that was the hard thing is I was like, how am I going to bring righteousness?
Which is a little how Judas, I can hear a righteous tone in his voice.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
If I could go back in time and get to it, I could do that again. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
There you go. I could have just auto-filled with how they usually are, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So yeah, I left the righteousness piece off because I couldn't figure out how to make it work. I focused on just the persecuted.
That makes sense.
In general.
Yeah.
But yeah, the righteousness piece maybe gets to how Judas's own self-righteousness, because as it said there in verse 6 that he didn't really care about the poor. He was just trying to have more money in the community purse that he could pocket.
Yep.
Which is a very interesting sort of little side note in there too of he didn't really care, by the way. If any readers at home were wondering, you know, I like that John put that little addendum in there of don't worry, don't feel too bad for Judas, because he was actually up to no good anyway.
I was just going to comment that I also really appreciated your hymn of the day, which is one that I have always loved, but we don't sing it that often, at least in some churches we don't. But I mean, that language of in this bread there's healing, in this cup is life forever, in this moment by the Spirit Christ is with us here. I mean, it's kind of like Mary just knows it.
Yeah, God, Christ is with us right here in this space. What are you waiting for? Yeah, Christ is with us here. That's what
you could not get that down.
No,
Christ
my
is
gosh,
here with us.
Oh my gosh, I don't know why.
Everyone's laughing at you guys. Every
what time. Is my autocorrect in my brain that I was like, Christ is here with us? No, with us here. I'm like, I don't know. It, even the second service, we did it three times. The first service couldn't get it. We did it three times at the second service. By the last verse, I think I got it.
Yeah.
Well, better late than never, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know why. Some hymns are like that. There are just words I can't get right.
He is with us. He is with
us.
He is
with us.
Yeah.
Here.
Yep.
Not
here with us.
Here is bread, which got me thinking about the smell of bread baking. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was just going.
Yeah. One of the kids brought up sourdough.
That was
love sourdough. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
One kid brought up deliciousness. Like, what's your favorite smell? Deliciousness. I'm like, can't beat deliciousness.
I like deliciousness also.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
I thought that was going to be your
first word
question.
Of the day.
Oh. No, first question here was a smell. Your favorite smell.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was trying to think.
Do you have anything on the top of your head? Favorite smell?
I went to the Twins game yesterday, and the smell of a baseball game.
Baseball in general. Yeah, I suppose.
That's nice.
I was about to say there's an intermingling smell in there.
Like, yeah.
Dirt. There's also like that smell of that dirt.
Love the smell of dirt.
Yeah, it's always in the air. Very true. The crack of the bat.
That's I like bread baking. I mean, I think a lot of house kind of smells.
House smells, yep.
Dinner last night was a fantastic smell. I think it had to do with some onions.
It's always onions and garlic for me. It's like, what are you cooking? Doesn't matter. As long as it's got onions and garlic
doesn't
in it.
Matter.
It's good.
Love the smell of the kids after a Wednesday when it was taco day.
Yeah. Thanks,
and
Wow.
We're trapped in the building.
Oh,
thanks, Wow.
My gosh. Or just a day when they clearly had a hard gym class. And it's like, oh, open up some windows. Now we're getting to the part of the year where we can up some windows.
It was a cold
thankfully.
Day that
it
day.
Was all, yeah.
I was,
it was like
February. I'm opening the windows and the doors, and I was like, I don't care that it's cold.
Yeah. We need to call the school and say, no more taco day.
No more taco day on Wednesdays.
So,
Yeah, we, I think I said this in one of the other ones, we cleaned out my grandma's house last week.
Oh, yeah.
And just the smell of being in her house, you know, is different. And she lived on the golf course, so I think of like, fresh cut grass sometimes.
Yeah, that smells of grandma.
Yeah,
smells of grandma.
Yeah,
yeah. I got that a lot between services. People came up to me and said, you know, the thing I remember of my, you know, grandparents, and they talked about, you know, maybe a furniture piece that they got to inherit or something. Or, you know, a lot of people brought up recipes, you know, old family recipes. And yeah, there's just something that just brings you right back to like, that you know.
Smells go deep.
Smells go deep.
Yeah. Yep.
Smells go deep. They're wild. So
coffee.
Yeah. Smells like church. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my time says 46 minutes, so that's plenty of time. No, that's about right.
It's fun to join you guys today.
Oh, thank you, Bishop Jen. Thank you
for
being here. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. We want to continue the conversation with you. So if you have questions, if you have insights, comments, things we should have talked about, things you didn't like us talking about, whatever, you know how to get, I shouldn't have opened that door.
Don't tell us those things.
Yeah, no,
keep
leave
those
to yourself.
But
you know how to get a hold of us. Drop by church, send us an email, comment on our Facebook, Instagram, whatever. We're excited to have you guys be part of the conversation as well. Bishop Jen, it was so nice to have you. Thank you. Everybody have a nice day. Bye, everyone.
Bye.